We all have a tendency to forget a lot of things. As I'm getting older, I'm finding that my tendency to forget things is increasing in frequency, my forgetfulness. And I spelled that wrong, I apologize for that. There's not two levels of forgetfulness, but it is something that we all have to deal with. Now, I think we'll admit there are things in our life that are more important to forget than others. And, you know, forgetting your password, your Amazon account is not nearly as important as maybe I went to work one time when I was still working outside of home and had gone to work and got all the way there and realized I had left my laptop at home. And I had to make that explanation to my boss why I was going to be late because I had to run back home to get it. I couldn't work without it. Or it's not as bad as maybe forgetting to pick Shelly up from work and she's sitting outside when it's cold, something along those lines. I think we all can understand there are different levels of severity of forgetting things. And we all have moments where we do forget things, but as Christians, there are things that we should not forget. And chief and foremost among them is who it is that is the source of all the blessings that we have in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." And James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Everything we have in our life, we can point back to its origin being from the Lord. And so this morning, I want to focus on things like that, things that we should not forget, and that there are some things and different topics that have been brought up that people have forgotten that are in the scriptures. And there are some things that we should never, ever forget, that we should always be mindful of them. Some have forgotten who their God and Savior is. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, they have despised the Holy One of Israel, they are utterly estranged." Again, we read about Old Testament, Judges 8, 34 and 35 reads, "And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side, and they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done to Israel." And then our last passage on this thought is in Psalms 106, 7 and 8. "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power." From these passages, we can see the main problem that the children of Israel had. Over and over again, they continuously forgot who their God was and what he had done for them. They failed to recognize him for who he is and what he can do, and because of that, they suffered many, many times when they didn't have to. Before we beat up on them too much, though, we have to understand that this is not a problem that is inherent only to their situation. This was also something that we face today, and we can see in the Jewish leaders it was not exclusive to the Jewish leaders in the Old Testament. It's been a problem for all time throughout today, including right now. Paul says in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If we continued on in our reading, this is a very well-known passage among, I would say, all of us here this morning. And we would see a list of things that the English Standard Version calls dishonorable passions. These things that are in this list are things that the Lord does not sanction, does not allow, but God allowed these people to continue doing them because they did not acknowledge him. They had forgotten who he was. It is important for us to remember that we do have free will, but God is never going to force us to remember him. He's never going to force us to do what he wants us to do. But he has blessed us with many things, and we have it in front of us to know that he is there and is in our life. And if we want to forget about God and his ways, we have that freedom. We have that ability to do so. But there are consequences to that, and we do not have any choice but to face those consequences based upon the decisions that we make. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God." Verses like these should certainly motivate us to not want to forget who God is and what he means to our lives and all the wonderful things he's done to us. And the word that he's provided to us with the promises that are found within, that living for him, we can attain all of those rewards. And so certainly the last place any of us should want to be would be in a place that is separated from God, neither in this world or in the world that is to come. Separation from God is not a place that we should want. Another thing that people tend to forget is God's word. When we don't reinforce ourselves with the things that we learn, we tend to forget them. They will slowly drift away. I'm sure we all have a favorite movie or a favorite song that, you know, we used to know every word to or whatever, but as time goes on, we forget those words. At one time, I had memorized every word to a certain movie that I was a fan of. I could tell you every word, every line. Not only had I watched the movie over and over and over again, I was such a geek. Well, was. Still am. But I mean, I recorded the audio of this movie onto a cassette tape, but I would listen to the movie in my car. And I could go back and forth, and I had a very good friend that he knew too, and we would go back and forth. It was a comedy, it was something funny. And so we would go back and forth, and I would just listen to it all the time. And right now, here in 2023, I would struggle to be able to remember, you know, much of it. There are some scenes that I kind of would know what exactly was said, but I would have a very hard time saying that because, well, getting married stopped a lot of this and so forth. You know, I just haven't spent that time that I had at one time. I wasn't reinforcing what I had learned, and I was trying to think, it's been at least 5 years, probably 10 years since I've even seen the movie. Most of it I had once known has been forgotten. And the same thing happens with the Lord's Word. I could read a passage from one of the books and memorize it and say it over and over again, and maybe a week later I'd remember it. But over time, I'm going to forget. We all, growing up, those of us who grew up in the church, had memory verses maybe each week in our class. we studied them and we knew that week, but maybe a month later the teacher would come back and said, hey, what was that memory verse we had? It's not something that we would have continued and reinforced in our lives. And so as time goes on and on, the less that we will remember from the Word of God if we don't focus on it. If it's been years since we've read anything, you know, a certain part of passage in the Bible or whatever the case may be, and went back to it, we struggle to remember what it said without having to look at the Word. But if I read it frequently, if I'm studying the Bible as frequently as I listen to and watch that movie, well, then I would have the same results. I would be able to remember what it said, and there would be little that would have been forgotten in that. And so James, in his book, teaches us a great lesson on this truth. And it'll teach us what we can do to help us not forget the Word of God. James 1, 21 through 25 says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer, but who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Here's the point. It's easy for people to just casually read God's Word, but it never really sinks in because we don't put it to practice. We don't focus on it. You always remember something better if it's something that you are doing. You know, some people learn by doing. Well, that's how the Word of God is. You can read about how to be a farmer. You can even go buy a tractor and buy some land, but until you put into practice what you've learned, that farm isn't going to grow anything, and you'll never really fully understand what it means to run a farm without getting down in the dirt and doing the job. But once you do, then you'll be able to know, you'll be able to raise a crop or whatever the case may be, and you'll be able to remember how to do them much better. Next year comes around, you'll be better, and next year after that, and so forth. And as Christians, we can set up ourselves to forget God's Word. If we simply read it and study without putting it into practice, we'll see what James says. That we would just be readers and just hearers, but we must be doers of the Word. We can't just be a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Think about this. We're not going to be judged by how we know. On the day of judgment, the Lord is not going to quiz us on what verse says. We're going to be judged by what we've done, by the actions that we've done after hearing. There are many verses that show this to be true. For example, Jesus himself says this about the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 through 4. Jesus said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. I don't think anyone at that time, or even today, we could say the scribes and the Pharisees didn't know the law of Moses. That's what they did. The scribes worked in the Word every day when they were writing and transcribing things. They were not rebuked because of what they knew. Jesus here rebukes them because they knew, but they did not act. They did not keep the law of Moses despite the knowledge that they had. And Paul reflects on this in 2 Corinthians, a similar thought. Chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We're going to be judged based upon our actions. We can have the Bible memorized from cover to cover, but if we don't do anything that is said inside of it, then we are going to be on the bad side of this conversation that Paul tells us about here in 2 Corinthians. In the Old Testament, Ezra understood the importance of God's Word, and that all of it should be taught to the people so they could remember it and understand it. If you remember, while in captivity, the Israelites were separated. They had lost the law. Literally, they had lost the writings. Ezra had found the book of the law of Moses, and he stood on a platform in front of all the people, and he had people there that were to help him, and were told that there were groups of men that would go out, and while he was reading, would be helping people understand. And he stood on that platform, and he read from the book. And we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 12. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, and said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink, and to send portions, and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. We need to keep in mind, as I mentioned, these Jews had been in captivity, and there were some that were probably of a younger age that had never heard the word read to them, or read it themselves, or had it spoken to them. And when they heard it, we see very clearly what their reaction was. They wept. They realized what had been missing from their lives. They realized that they needed this in their lives, and it moved them to just break down in tears. God's law gave them hope. But it also let them know that the many things that they had been neglecting to do were needed from them. Verse 12 says they went away to rejoice. Why did they do so? Because they understood the word. They understood what had been read to them by Nehemiah and by the different men that came around and were helping people understand. They rejoiced because they now, what had been forgotten, now was known to them. There may be people here today that could maybe relate to the Jewish people. No, you and I have not been in captivity, but we've maybe limited the word in our lives, where we've allowed ourselves to become captives to the devil. The devil has kept us from it, and we've left the Lord and didn't live the life that we should based upon the word that we've been given. You basically allowed yourself to forget about God and forget about His Word and the way that we should be living. But the fact that you're here, hopefully at some point you realize that that's not what you needed to do. Of course, there may be some here this morning that are struggling with that. But we need to stop neglecting God's Word. We need to read it. And we need to act upon it. We can make ourselves as busy as we want doing other things. Watching a movie over and over again. There's lots of things we can find ourselves time to do. And maybe we can lead ourselves to think that there are more important parts of our life. Maybe it's our jobs, or maybe it's our family, or our friends, or it's our hobbies, whatever the case may be. It's up to us to make sure that whatever it is that we do in our lives, that's all built upon the foundation that the Lord is number one in our lives. The Lord is what's most important to us. Having His Word in our lives and being doers of that Word is the foundation upon which everything in our life should be built. And if we keep that in mind, then the rest of our priorities will align with that. Not saying we can't have hobbies. Not saying we can't enjoy our families or be dedicated to our job. But if we structure our lives that our respect for the Lord and our remembering the Lord, if we keep that as basis of our lives, then those priorities will work themselves out. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Repay is a key word there. Everybody's going to get a payment. Not everybody's going to enjoy this payment. But it's up to us to make sure that when we are repaid, it's based upon what we've done, that is based upon the work. So we can't ever forget about God. We can't forget about His Word or how we are to live by it. And so with this in mind, let's look at our third point. Sometimes people forget to get God's approval for what they're doing. Not something we necessarily think about, but that is something that we need to keep in mind when we are choosing to do things. Joshua in the Old Testament is a great example of a leader. He's a great example of a person who was always putting the Lord in his life and putting in the forefront. And he's a great example for us in our daily lives. But there was a time that he erred, and he erred greatly because he didn't consult. He didn't consult with the Lord. He didn't think about the Lord. In Joshua chapter 9, word was getting around to these different nations about what they had just done to Jericho and to Ai. And some of the kings were banding together, and they were determined that by might they would be able to take on the children of Israel as they were walking through their lands. But there was one group, the Gibeonites, that chose a different approach. Might hadn't worked before. Fortified walls hadn't worked before. So they chose a different approach. They went with deceit. And remember, this was a group that lied about who they were. They said they were not inhabitants. They were just simply travelers moving through that portion of the land of Canaan. And they asked Joshua to make a covenant with them. And we'll be your servants. Please don't destroy us. We're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you spare our lives, we'll enter into a covenant and we'll remain, we'll be servants to you. And they had old clothes and they had old food. They said, look, this food that was warm when we left, when we made it, is now old and crumbly and dry. We're not who you think we are. And so Joshua 9, verses 14 and 15 tells us, so the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore to them. These Gibeonites would not have been able to fool Joshua, would not have been able to fool the other men, if they simply relied upon and asked the Lord what they should do. The Lord would have been able to have told them easily, these men are the Gibeonites, these are not travelers, they are trying to deceive you. But they accepted their lies as truth, and they did not take counsel with the Lord. They entered into this contract with the very people they were destroying, as we know, that set them up for years of difficulties because they allowed these people to remain among them instead of utterly wiping them out. And so as Christians, sometimes we make decisions of that nature without going to, not that we can speak to God and have Him answer us, but we have His instruction manual available to us. We have the Word that we can consult and we can see if what we're wanting to do is right or if it's wrong. We simply do it without thought sometimes because someone asked us to do something and we just say, yeah, let's go do that. And later you think, maybe that wasn't the right thing for me to do. The time to be having that conversation with yourself is before you do it. Perhaps like this situation here, maybe sometimes we're tricked into doing something. And yes, shame on us for being tricked, but once we realize we're in it, we still have that opportunity to back out. Whatever the case may be, anytime we're faced with something, we should be comfortable enough and knowledgeable enough of the Word that we can use that as our basis for whether we should or shouldn't be doing some action or activity. And we have to determine, is this something that, as Christians, we should be a part of? And whether that is the example we want to be setting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is telling us we have to test it. When people would bring in gold, you had something you could wipe the gold against, and it would tell you whether it was real gold or not, or whether it was some kind of a fake thing. You test to make sure that it's something you're buying or that it has value. In the same way, we have to test anything in our lives against the Word. The Word is our standard. The Word is what we have to keep in mind when we are doing these things. So we can't forget to test what we're about to do, and we have to do it, test it against the Word. If there's any doubt whether it's something a Christian should do, I mean, we should err on the side of, if there's any doubt, maybe we shouldn't do it. It's better to be safe than sorry. And in this case, when your eternal life is in the balance, doing it and knowing that you're not doing anything wrong is better than doing something and wondering if you should have done it. Now, there are many more areas of direction, things we should or shouldn't forget, that I could take this lesson, but I think these are strong areas that we should focus on. That we should never forget who our Lord and Savior is, and we should not forget who His Father in heaven is. That is the reason that we have all the blessings in our life, that we have everything in us, and the way that we are living our life should be based upon the Word that He's provided to us. We should not forget His Word, and that's done by reading it and living it and applying it and studying it and being doers instead of just hearers. And I hope with all this you will not forget that the Word is the ultimate test that, against which we should look at everything we're doing. We should use the Word as a prism for how we should live our lives. If anyone here this morning is in those situations I had mentioned this morning where you know what your life should be focusing on, but you've let the cares of this world bog you down, and you've fallen away from the habits that you know you should have of reading and studying and devoting your life to Him instead of living it for yourself, you have that opportunity to use this to help you overcome those situations and realize the place that the Word should have in your life. And you can ask for forgiveness if you can come back and be pleasing to Him once again. But there are those of you here this morning that have never cared to take those cares out of your life. You've decided that you don't need the Lord, whatever the case may be. You haven't chosen to give Him your life. And just like those that have fallen short of their goal of living a faithful life have an opportunity today to turn their lives back around, you have that opportunity today to make this the first day of your life as a disciple of Christ and a follower of Him. And that's done by coming forward and confessing that the Lord is the Son of God and that He did die for our sins. You can indicate your intention to repent of what you've been doing and to do them no more. And then you can come forward and you can be buried in the waters of baptism, and you're going to rise a new creature and ready to go out and be an example to those around you and be seen as a disciple of the Lord. If you have any needs this morning, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and